Glory to Jesus Christ. For centuries, Eastern Church celebrates on this Sunday All Saints. For centuries, we celebrate this fruit of activity of the Holy Spirit in souls of people. And for centuries, Christians understood that this Sunday is not only about celebration of their lives, lives of all saints. They understood that this Sunday has a message for them, that it is calling, which church repeats again and again, calling for personal holiness. Because this is the goal of Christian life, to become holy. May we are able to enter to God's kingdom. Holiness was this goal very present in mind of Christians. And they were trying to reach this goal as something was the most important in human life. But we feel now, and in this time, we feel that this message of this Sunday, this calling to holiness, is somehow more important than it was before. Maybe in generations before, it was not need to remind that very somehow with some kind of intensity, because it was this Christian environment in our cities, townships, and villages was Christian. And it was a natural environment in which somehow naturally everybody was pulled towards this goal. I remember, and I was probably seminary at the time, so it means over 30 years ago, when I read an article, and it was in newspaper which were published by communists, and the article was written by an atheist who was talking about somehow life. I don't remember exactly the topic, but I remember what he wrote in the end. He wrote, during communist era, he wrote this: we have to be thankful to Christians because they create environment when we who don't believe in God can live nice and decent life. He realized that Christian and their way of life was beneficial for those who even didn't believe in God. He appreciates this quality which Christian life brought to society. But what was the reason for this? It was this desire to fulfill this calling for holiness. Because it didn't stay in only the result was not only in transforming soul of that individual Christian, but whole society was changed by that. And everybody could have benefits of this life. But we know that it is not true anymore. We know that this is not something what we can experience. We know that we don't live in an environment which would help us and push us and reminds us this goal of our life, holiness. Just opposite, we live in an environment which is hostile to these values. That if we want to follow somehow this calling, we have to become heroes in many ways. We realize that it's so difficult to live in the world which wants to take us totally different to way, different direction. And we see that world is like somehow destroyed. You know, there is so many tensions in the world, so many difficulties, so many bad things. And we see even problems in the church. That even in the church, we many times we are disgusted. We are disappointed. And we sometimes have this feeling that even in the church, we cannot find this encouragement to which would push us on this way towards our goal, holiness. And probably we all feel in our heart that there's a need for some kind of revival, renewal of religious life. But it seems to us that it's so difficult and so hard that we are losing sometimes hope that it is possible. But there is no need to lose hope. What we need is to personally to take this calling to holiness in a radical way, to make a radical decision, because it is something what is connected with our soul, with our eternal life. If we don't take our faith with some kind of in a radical way, we can lose our life. We can lose our eternal life. We can lose life with Christ. So how can we come to this point that we will be renewed inside? How can we live this holy life? How can we give to our life direction towards holiness? And we have to, for that, to look to gospel and to look at Christ, to our Savior, because he gives us example. What we can see in his life, how it is represented in gospels, we see one important thing, that he was obedient to his Father. He came on this earth, and he became man to fulfill will of his Father. And he did it perfectly. And it was not easy for him. He became humble through taking human nature. He endured all this hardship of life we endure. But he fulfilled this God's will perfectly through his suffering and death on the cross. He didn't refuse God's will. He fulfilled that. And this is the way towards holiness. To know and to fulfill God's will. And we know that this is very important for us. But we have to make this movement, this decision. Yes, this is what I want. And Christ himself, he tells us this is the way. Because he tells us that to know God's will, it's easy. And we do it through fulfillment of his commandments we find in gospel. And he says, if you fulfill these commandments, it is sign that you love me. If you fulfill these commandments, I, my Father, that we will come to you and we will dwell in you. And this is that holiness, when God dwells in our hearts through our willingness to fulfill his will, to walk on path of righteousness. And let's imagine, you know, that we would learn to keep all God's commandments, all commands of the gospel. If we, let's imagine the situation that we all would start to live in from now in perfect way. We would cause a revolution in this world. And after this revolution, no other revolution would be possible. God, the world would become a nice place for living. But always when we refuse to fulfill God's will through his commandments, when we put commandments away, when we say, well, I am not trying to do this because it's too difficult, we are opening doors for bad things coming to this world, to our lives. It is something what, through which we say, we don't want to serve you, O Lord. We don't want to be obedient to you. We don't want to love you. And the result is disaster. And let me show you just two examples of how huge destruction came through this refusal to serve God. And those two examples are connected with families which are suffering and they are losing their power to raise new generation in correct way. The first example is what is very present, everybody is talking about that, is extreme feminism. What does it mean, this extreme feminism? When we analyze what they say this: I am not willing to serve, I am not willing to be obedient, I am not willing to bring any sacrifice. And it sounds good, but there are those three defects in their hearts which come from refusal of God. And those ladies are not able to start good family. They are not able to build family. They are not able because they don't want husband, they want a slave. The second example is something what is opposite to this extreme feminism. And it is this movement which is growing very fast now, and we call it MGTOW, which means men who are going on way. And they say, these men, they say that, well, they just react on this extreme feminism, and they don't want to be slaves to women, so they refuse to find a relationship. They want to live alone, single. They don't want to enter to marriage because they say it is not good for them. It's not good for them to be in marriage. They don't want, and it is growing like cancer. But again, what is behind this movement? It is not reaction to feminism. It is this disconnection from God, from this calling to holiness, instead to be willing to serve, to be obedient, to bring sacrifice for good things. They are filled with egoism, without ability to serve, without any ability to bring sacrifice. And imagine if there are ladies who are infected by this world thinking not to serve, not to bring sacrifice. If there are men who are infected by the same thing, how these two groups can join together and to create good family? It's impossible. Because without willingness to bring sacrifices, to serve, I would say to fulfill God's commandments in life, there is no possibility to build good family. And I am very afraid of new generation, because many young people, Christians, they say it's so difficult to find somebody to marry. How difficult it is. Those are only two examples of bad things which are happening in the world. And there are many others which came from the same root, that we say to God, I am not willing to serve you. I am not willing to be obedient to you. And I am not willing to bring sacrifices to fulfill your will. And we have to realize that. And we have to check our heart if this rebellion is not in our hearts too, in many ways. And then we should start to build again some in new way our life with decision, follow God's commandments. May we stay in God's love. May God stay in us. May we grow in holiness. And because we celebrate today, you know, Father's Day too, I think that this is something for fathers as a calling. Look, yesterday we went to see a game. Elijah was playing his last game, so we went there. And I like to go, if I have opportunity, to watch the games. And you see these little guys, you know, trying to play baseball and with all this. It's amazing. But, you know, more impressive on this game are those men, their fathers, the coaches, who try to teach them. And I was thinking about this, you know, those fathers, how wonderful they are, that they have this time, patience, to teach these little guys to play baseball. And I think this is the perfect example what Christian fathers should do. Those coaches, they can teach these little guys because they have love towards that game. They love the game. They know and respect rules. And they know how to encourage these little ones to love the game and love the rules. The same thing is the role of father in this time. We fathers, we have to know this game which we call life, this gift from God. We should know this mechanism. How does it work? What is the goal of our life? And we should love this goal, this success, this winning aspect. Then we should know the rules for this game which is life, and we can find in gospel. We should know that and respect that. And then we can enter to life of our children and to teach them to love this game of our life. This battle for success, for winning. We will teach them rules and how to keep these rules, these commandments of God, because we know that this is necessary for good game, for good life. And we can show them how to do this with patience. And we should not worry to sacrifice time for this, our children, to teach them, to spend time with them, to show them how to live. So personal decision for holiness. I take responsibilities from our state as father, mothers, godparents, to take care and to teach younger generation how to live according to God's rules and what is the goal, and that we need to bring sacrifice to reach this goal. This, I think, something what we have to learn. It will not come itself, by itself. We have to learn that and exercise that. So this is message for us, and we all feel that this calling to this holiness is very important these times in this world. So let's try to pray during this liturgy. Let's pray to ask Christ, who is coming in Eucharist to us, for this grace. May our eyes are open and our will is strengthened by His grace. May we can follow this calling to holiness for our sake, as for sake of our new generations, for the sake of the whole world. Amen. Mm-hmm.